A division of the North American Broadcasting Company.
All comments, views, and opinions expressed during the following program do not reflect the views of this station. All topics discussed are meant for educational purposes only. Talk with your doctor before starting any new treatments. Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned to find out how you can open your mind to new possibilities in life.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in Los Angeles, and every week we discuss issues relating to mental health, and I tend to take more of a holistic approach, which is about balancing body, mind, and spiritual issues. And we certainly deal with a wide range of topics on here. The topic tonight is sort of a follow-up from last week's show on the porn industry. At least it's keeping to the theme of sex, and tonight's topic is cyber sex addiction. Real addiction or cop-out, or as we might subtitle it, real addiction or fantasy. So, I'll be introducing a little bit later my guest, who's Rob Weiss, who is a clinical social worker and director of the Sexual Recovery Institute in Los Angeles, and about a year ago published an excellent book on cyber sex addiction called Cyber Sex Exposed. So we've done a number of shows dealing with addictions, compulsive behaviors, since last August when I started this, and a lot of the work that I do deals with recovery as well as a lot of other issues. And in dealing with recovery issues, sex addiction has been a primary focus actually for a number of years. I think it was like about 1980, 81 maybe, 82, I actually attended a workshop in Atlanta. It was a weekend training by a not-so-well-known gentleman named Patrick Carnes. I don't even remember the year. And it was a weekend training on sex addiction. And at that point, not a lot of therapists, including myself, really were aware of this as a legitimate clinical issue to be dealing with. And it really opened my mind and my eyes to a lot of situations with clients, as well as some of my own life I had to take a more honest look at. And a number of you know that one of the venues that I do some counseling in is actually gay bathhouses, where the owners pay me a consultant fee to be on site at three of the bathhouses here in LA. And as you can imagine, I'd say about 60% of the guys that actually come in to talk to me, the first question out of their mouths has something along the lines of, how do I know if I'm a sex addict, or why can't I stop coming to this place? So it's a more common issue than most people realize, whether it's the gay community or the straight community. It's still a problem. A couple of months ago, there was an article that actually got off the internet, and the title of it is Doctor Guilty in Secret Life Case. And basically, it was about a very well-respected and well-known doctor in suburban Boston who was found guilty of first-degree murder of his wife. And he was an allergist, and he had this secret life, which included frequent trips with call girls and frequent visits to internet porn sites. And they said that he killed his 58-year-old wife because he was afraid she would expose his secret life of prostitutes, pornography, and phone sex. This is obviously an extreme case of what addiction can really do to one's life, and the shame that's impacted by it, that some would go to such lengths as to actually kill rather than deal with the embarrassment and the shame publicly of people who have been respecting them all of a sudden finding out things that have been very much a secret. So that's an extreme. But all of us can relate to behaviors that we have, to things that we've done in our lifetimes that we really wish nobody would ever find out about. Now think for a minute, what's going on currently in your own life that you really, when you think about people in general finding out about, that you get kind of a knot in your stomach, or, you know, your chest tightens up and you can't breathe as easily. Well, addicts go through that all the time, that fear of being found out, the secrecy. Now, with drugs and alcohol, it's a little bit more difficult to hide it over time because the chemicals themselves start really showing. I mean, people can see in their eyes, they could smell the odor on them or on their breath. But when you have a behavioral addiction like sex, eating, deading, things like that, sometimes it takes longer to be found out. And like any addictions, there's a progression to them, and people start taking more and more risks. Sooner or later, everyone gets found out. There was an article, actually very timely, in this week's edition of In Magazine in Los Angeles, written by another therapist who I've quoted before, Bethany Marshall. And it is about sexual desire or sexual addiction. And the general topic of sex addiction, she writes, where is it? Here it is. The criteria for sex addiction. In response to questions she's gotten, she's defined sex addiction as a serious diagnosis that falls within the spectrum of a larger group of disorders known as obsessive-compulsive disorder. And her criteria, she writes, there are six of them. Thoughts about sex are sometimes experienced as intrusive and inappropriate and may cause anxiety or distress. The second one. Thoughts and impulses regarding sex and sexuality do not always result from real-life situations. In other words, the individual regularly changes his routine in order to seek sex. Number three, the individual frequently engages in sexual activity in order to neutralize mounting anxiety or tension. And I'll add to that, in order to neutralize almost any emotion. Number four, the individual recognizes that his preoccupation or her preoccupation with sex is excessive and unreasonable, although individuals with poor insight may rationalize their behavior. And I'll add to that that even though they may realize it's excessive and unreasonable, they still can't stop it. Number five, the wish to seek sex is time-consuming, often taking up hours daily, and interferes with the person's normal routine, relationship, and or work life. Number six, the wish to continually seek sex is not related to another addiction such as substance abuse. Now, that has to do more with general sex addiction. Tonight, we're going to be actually bringing it in a little bit more to something that is in the timeline of history, a relatively new addiction, because the computer is a relatively new addition to our life and lifestyles. So we're dealing with cybersex addiction. Now, anyone who has email gets spam. And I would imagine that most people get spam that deals with sex, sexuality, enticing you onto websites that once you get onto one, other windows keep opening, and you end up in this maze where you have to almost turn off the computer to shut that whole cycle down. The problem is also that the spam and these sites are also available to teenagers and children. So what do you do now when all of this is available, when before the only way you could seek out pornography or sexual material like this, you had to either go to a store in a seedy part of town and all this other stuff. Of course, a lot of those stores are in general shopping areas today. It's a lot easier to get anywhere, but the computer and the internet allows for accessibility that heretofore has just been unheard of. Again, it gets back to secrecy, which now means people can spend hours throughout the whole night at work, do whatever they want to do, and it's just so easily accessible. And that's often what gets people hooked. Now, getting a little bit closer to our guest tonight, I'm actually going to read a couple of things from his book, Cybersex Exposed. This is in Chapter 2, When Too Much Sex Is Not Enough. Addiction is a concept that many people have trouble understanding. To a non-addict, it seems inconceivable that a person would drink, use drugs, or engage in some addictive behavior to the point of serious consequences, unless that person had some moral flaw or weakness of character. Our Western culture of self-determination encourages the belief that those challenged by their circumstances will just pull themselves up by the bootstraps or do the right thing. Others believe that calling oneself an addict is really just seeking an excuse to write off bad behavior and avoiding facing up to one's problems. These notions are magnified in the area of addictive sexual behavior, where blaming problem sexual behavior on one's sex addiction might appear as an attractive alternative to taking responsibility. And he goes on to say, it is often easier to understand addiction to a substance than to a behavior. The reality is that arousing or stimulating activities can be highly addictive for some according to how it affects their brain chemistry, whereas drug and alcohol addictions can be defined as, quote, a problematic relationship to a mood-altering substance, end quote. Sex addiction can be defined as, quote, a problematic relationship to a mood-altering experience. The cybersex addict experiencing the intensity, excitement, and arousal of watching online pornography, hanging out in sexual chat rooms, or engaging in online video feeds becomes increasingly more important over time than other priorities or relationships. And with that being said, and that stage being set, we're going to take a short break here and come back, and I'll introduce you to my friend Rob Weiss.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Stuart Altschuler, a licensed practicing psychotherapist since 1974, wants to let you know about his website at www.tellthetruthfaster.com. You will find the resources you need in these areas: self-empowerment, positive thinking, attention deficit disorder, individual and group HIV/AIDS counseling, addictions and compulsive behavior, intimacy and relationships. Get the information you need on these topics and more. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com. There's even a place to email Stuart with your questions, comments, and requests for information regarding his work. At www.tellthetruthfaster.com, you can find additional links for groups, organizations, and websites dedicated to help you identify and heal the issues you are experiencing. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com today.
I want a pet iguana.
I want a pet iguana.
I like to grind handrails.
I like to grind handrails.
I think cartoons are for kids.
I think cartoons are for kids.
Did you ever notice your little brother copies everything you do?
I've been lifting weights. Oh, yeah. I'm huge.
I've been lifting weights. I'm huge.
After all, you're his big brother, his role model, and he looks up to you.
I need to work on my crossover dribble.
I need to work on my crossover dribble.
I want
to
be an astrophysicist.
I want to be an astrophysicist.
I got a date tonight.
I got a date tonight.
So don't do anything you wouldn't want him doing. Got it?
Hey, look, I don't smoke weed, okay? It's not my thing.
I don't smoke weed. It's not my thing.
Call 1-888-412-8272 for more information. A message from the Partnership for a Drug-Free Arizona and America.
8 hours at the office, 12 hours at the factory, 16 hours behind the wheel. Your body is screaming for relief. Why don't you take a break from yourself? Experience an all-new sleep system that gives you safe, natural relief fast. Aches and pains from long hours are gone after you experience the best night's sleep of your life. So go ahead and give your body the relief it seeks and join us with Dr. Ron Lawrence as he leads a roundtable discussion exploring the wonderful world of magnetic therapy at 10 a.m. Friday. Brought to you by Horizons to Health.
Gain insights into the everyday challenges of your life. Insights for Your Life, The Paranormal Explored, is a show dedicated to assisting you into physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual fulfillment. Your hosts, Keith and Charmaine Amber, will be dispensing enlightening knowledge on subjects such as pre-birth contracts and body language as a spiritual tool. There will even be spontaneous on-air healings. Insights for Your Life, The Paranormal Explored, every Friday afternoon at 2 on AM 1100 KFNX.
Talk to our expert hosts. In the Phoenix area, call 602-277-KFNX. Outside the Phoenix area, call toll-free 866-277-KFNX.
This is Hot Talk.
Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, is broadcast live every week at the same time. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and tonight's topic is cybersex addiction. And I remind all of you that this is a live call-in show, and we welcome your calls. And the toll-free number is 1-866-277-5369, 866-277-5369, and if you're in the local Phoenix area, it's 602-277-5369. The only line from the introduction that I wanted to state, and the break had to come in, is a very important one. At the end of the paragraph that I was reading, it says, similar to the drug addict, the sex addict becomes less and less interested in the real relationships and experiences that make up a healthy life. I'll say it again. Similar to the drug addict, the sex addict becomes less and less interested in the real relationships and experiences that make up a healthy life. My guest tonight is someone I've actually known, I think, since 1986 when I first moved to Los Angeles. And I think professionally we both kind of moved up in the ranks, and he's somebody that I respect greatly for his sense of commitment to the field that he works in, and he's an excellent therapist and has really helped open people's eyes and minds and hearts to this issue of sex addiction in particular. His name is Robert Weiss, and he's a clinical social worker. And he is the clinical director and founder of the Sexual Recovery Institute here in Los Angeles, which is an outpatient center for sexual addicts, sexual offenders, and their significant others. And he's also the author of a new book about a year now, Cybersex Exposed, Simple Fantasy or Obsession, which was co-written with Jennifer Schneider, who is an MD and PhD, who I believe is actually in the Tucson area.
That is correct.
And maybe she's even listening tonight.
Maybe.
Rob, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Stuart.
You've heard all my introduction, and I think the essence of that last sentence that I read, I think, is the cornerstone of most issues around any addiction, but particularly sex addiction, becomes less and less interested in the real relationship and experiences that make up a healthy life. Particularly, I think, sex addiction, people start getting lost in fantasy and lost in a world of anything other than their own reality and intimacy.
Well, in fact, I think that's reinforced by the fact that even those people who have marriages or primary relationships or close friendships, the deeper they get into their sexual behavior and the more they live a double life, the further away they get from those people that are important to them.
Mm-hmm.
I must say, though, just as an aside, Stuart, that it's the first time I've actually heard anyone read my book back to me. And it's pretty good. I like that. It's good.
Good.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. It's not the first time I've referred to it on the air either, and I appreciated the book quite a bit. We all end up with various specialties and stuff, but you've really made a commitment out of the whole issue of sex addiction and stuff. What's been your motivator, and what's been your experience in working with sex addicts?
Well, I think a part of it is it's always been interesting to me that so many people who go into the field of becoming a therapist, a psychotherapist, so many people are greatly motivated by helping victims of one sort or another, and whether they're victims of trauma or victims of abuse or victims of neglect. I think there's a great motivation for us for whatever reasons, and we don't need to go into those now. It's a whole other show.
Mm-hmm.
But in helping those who have a history of being victimized, but there seems to be so little interest in helping people who are causing or creating problematic behaviors. And I've always actually been more interested in the bad guy than the good guy, in a way. And I find in working with sex addicts, I'm often working with the bad guy. You know, I'm working with the husband who's cheated on his wife, or I'm working with the guy who's been, you know, spending all his money in online behavior or seeing prostitutes, or, you know, the one that society or the culture says, oh, my God, how could that guy be doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Or woman.
Right. I was just going to say we can't be sexist about this, because I'm sure that you have female clients.
Yes, we do, but I mean, we see, you know, maybe 150 people a week, and I would say that 98% are male.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for a variety of reasons, the people who are coming forward because they're having problems acting out sexually are male.
Mm-hmm.
Women tend to, and you'd asked me this question during the break, you know, what kind of cyber sex issues do women have? And Dr. Schneider and I, who, yes, does live in Tucson, by the way, she's actually has a practice in pain management. That's Dr. Schneider's area of expertise. But one of the things that we made sure to do was we tried to be very inclusive of women and doing some research and finding out what were women's issues in terms of online sexuality. And what we found was that men, not surprisingly, are much more visual. So they tend to be much more focused on the kind of immediate hit of pornography or watching some kind of voyeuristic stripping or something that's going on of that nature, whereas women tend to be much more relationally focused. So women tend to be more in the chat rooms. Women tend to be more in the personals and the relationship sections. Looking for the women who have problems in Syria tend to be out there looking for their knight in shining armor, whereas men tend to be more, and this isn't absolute, but statistically seems to be the way it looks, men tend to be more looking for that immediate excitement.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a difference in the way men and women act online and also in their general sexual behavior, but men seem to get in trouble a lot more often for their sexual behavior than women do, and that's why we end up seeing so many of them in treatment.
Do you see a difference between gay men and straight men in terms of the cyber sex and their focus or motivation?
I don't. I mean, I don't. We see primarily heterosexual men in our practice because heterosexual men seem to have more consequences for sexual acting out than gay men do or homosexual men do because heterosexual men have children and family ties that are legal and binding, and because of the vows of matrimony and for a whole variety of reasons, heterosexual men have more consequences to sexual acting out than homosexual men do. There seems to be more acceptance in the gay community of men having a lot of sex and then less acceptance in the heterosexual community once you're married or in a committed relationship. But in terms of the actual acting out, either online or otherwise, I don't really see much difference. When we do group work, we put men of all different sexual orientations and interests in the same groups because really what binds them together is the addiction.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's kind of like, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're into crack or marijuana, you know, you still have some kind of driven addictive behavior that's destroying your life.
Okay, we're going to take a break right now and come back with Rob Weiss, and we're talking about cyber sex addiction, so stay tuned.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Stuart Altschuler, a licensed practicing psychotherapist since 1974, wants to let you know about his website at www.tellthetruthfaster.com. You will find the resources you need in these areas: self-empowerment, positive thinking, attention deficit disorder, individual and group HIV/AIDS counseling, addictions and compulsive behavior, intimacy and relationships. Get the information you need on these topics and more. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com. There's even a place to email Stuart with your questions, comments, and requests for information regarding his work. At www.tellthetruthfaster.com, you can find additional links for groups, organizations, and websites dedicated to help you identify and heal the issues you are experiencing. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com today.
Guess what, Bill? I finally quit drinking.
Wow, that's great! Let me buy you a drink.
You wouldn't buy a drink for someone who just quit drinking, so why would you put more nicotine in your body when it's nicotine you're trying to lose the addiction to? SSP, the new stop smoking pill that helps you quit smoking safely, naturally, and easily. Smoker Support Program's unique blend of an all-natural herbal formula can eliminate your body's need for nicotine by satisfying the neural receptors in the brain, which have been conditioned to accept satisfaction from nicotine stimulation. All natural, eliminates cravings, fully guaranteed. What have you got to lose besides a life-threatening habit? For more information, call toll-free 1-800-796-5724. That's 1-800-796-5724.
Don't think a penny buys much? Depends on how much you value safety. One way to check tire safety is by placing a penny upside down in the tread. If you can see the top of Lincoln's head, you need to replace your tires. We can help you travel more safely with a 5-minute monthly tire check. To learn more, visit our website at www.nhtsa.gov. Tire safety. Everything rides on it.
Here's your current Hot Talk 1100 KFNX weather forecast, heard at the top and bottom of every hour. You're listening to Hot Talk 1100 KFNX with Don Imus in the morning from 5 to 9 a.m. and the Tom Likas Show from 4 to 8 p.m.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altschuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altschuler, and tonight's topic is cybersex addiction, and my guest is an expert in this, and he published a book about a year ago called Cybersex Exposed. So we're speaking with Rob Weiss. We were talking before the break about the differences you see in men and women in cybersex addiction and use of online chat. Now, not everybody who uses chat rooms and not everybody who looks at sex sites on the internet develops into an obsessive compulsive type of behavior or an addiction with it and stuff.
Thank God.
But because it's a computer, it's so much more secretive. We probably only see the tip of the iceberg anyway with how many people are really out there obsessed. But how do you define the difference between a healthy use of the internet and sex and when it crosses the line?
I think that's a really good question, Stuart. I mean, I think the way to think of any behavior addiction, like sex addiction or gambling addiction, I think is a really good one, is really to compare it to alcoholism, you know. And there are people who drink regularly and they're not alcoholics. There are people who get drunk occasionally and they're not alcoholics. You know, a true alcoholic is really a small percentage of the whole drinking population, and the person who's alcoholic is the person who has serious consequences of one sort or another, whether they're health or legal or relational or all of the above consequences because of their drinking, and they keep drinking anyway because their relationship with the alcohol is so important to them that they're unable to see it as being the cause of their problems. They have denial about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really the same with the behavioral addiction, that there are many people who engage in cyber sex or, you know, use of porn or other kinds of sexual behaviors that are you or I might not question the frequency of their use of those behaviors, but that doesn't make them an addict. I mean, someone who has an addictive behavior is someone who has real consequences because of that behavior. So, for example, with a cyber sex addict, they're going to be having, let's say, in the milder cases, they're going to be spending a lot of time online in the evening or at night, looking at images, downloading images, perhaps masturbating to images. So they're going to be, let's say, they're going to be more tired. They're going to be not as attentive to their work. They're going to be either avoiding or distancing themselves from relationships, perhaps putting kids to bed early or trying to get them out of the way so that they can get to the computer and get into their behavior. I have many patients who, now that they're not acting out sexually online anymore, have really sad feelings about all of the time they might have been spending with kids or family, for example, and they ended up just trying to avoid those situations to be online. And most people, I think, who don't have an addictive problem, when they see their sexual behavior of one sort or another affecting their lives, would say, oh gosh, you know, I don't want to do that anymore. I can see it's causing problems. Just like someone who has problems with alcohol use who's not an alcoholic would say, oh gosh, you know, I really better watch my drinking. It seems to be causing me a problem. But the alcoholic and the sex addict and the cyber sex addict don't look up and say, wow, I better, you know, I got to do something about this. They just do more and more and more of it. To the other extreme, we have people who are engaged in cyber sex behavior, as you mentioned in the intro, who have, you know, are losing jobs because they're online downloading porn or engaging in sexual contact online from work. They've been told not to do that, or they're being watched through their network. We work with people who've been arrested because of the kinds of images they're looking at online, or the kinds of people or situations that they're hooking up with.
Mm-hmm. The judge here in Orange County that has been arrested for child pornography and the computer and all that stuff, and withdrew his name from the ballots in November. I mean, that's very visible. And
there was actually an
example.
Article I think about 4 years ago, which I thought was very interesting, and we used it in Cybersex Exposed about a number of men who were committing suicide because prominent men in the military, men in the legal system, you know, lawyers, doctors, et cetera, who were getting found out to have an interest in child porn,
mm-hmm,
because of their online behavior. But, of course, this had never come to light before because there would have been no way anyone would have really known or seen it.
Right.
And when they were found out, they just killed themselves,
mm-hmm,
because of the intense shame and self-hatred.
Right.
I think one thing people really aren't aware of is one of the largest purveyors of child porn on the Internet is the U.S. government. Because they're very actively interested in who's looking at child porn.
So they're out there looking at it to see who else is there.
They want to know if sex offenders are going online and looking at, you know, offensive materials, and they want to know who the sex offenders are, so they have the material up there. And they can watch and see. I think it's really
it's kind of entrapment, right?
Well, I'm not going to get into judgment.
Right, I know, but it's an interesting thing that you're bringing up there.
I'm actually comfortable about that.
Okay.
But I will say that it's an interesting, one of the things that contributes to people's cybersex addiction is this notion that they're anonymous online.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, before the internet, if you went into your den to watch a video or work on your taxes or write a letter or even get on the phone to whomever, you basically were in the privacy of your home. And the assumption is, when I'm in my den with the door closed and sitting there in my boxer shorts, you know, nobody knows where I am or what I'm doing. And I think that's kind of carried forward for people when they sit down and they turn on the computer and they go online and they start chatting with people or looking at images, and they think to themselves, well, I'm in the den and my boxer shorts and the windows are closed and the doors, so nobody knows what I'm doing. And that's not really true. When you're online, people do know where you're going. People do know where you've been. You can be tracked and monitored, and not just by the government. I work with many men whose wives regularly go to the computer as soon as their husband leaves the day or isn't around and checks out where he's been online.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very difficult to figure out.
So let's talk about relationships. And again, whether it's gay, lesbian, or heterosexual relationship or whatever, there are some people that would argue, well, you know, I'm not having sex with anyone. I'm not meeting anyone. It's just chats. It's just porn and stuff. You know, so this isn't cheating. And yet the spouse or the partner really feels like they're being unfaithful to them. And
yeah, they feel betrayed. So, I think that, you know, it's very easy to justify that my behavior is not causing a problem because, after all, you know, nobody knows what I'm doing, and it's just, it's like a video game. You know, I'm not really meeting someone. We're not having real sex. But if you're not paying attention to your partner saying to you, I feel betrayed or violated,
mm-hmm.
then what kind of partner are you in a relationship if you're not willing to sit down and say, you know what, I better address this because it's upsetting my boyfriend or girlfriend or wife or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if a behavior is so important to you that you're disregarding your partner's feelings over it,
mm-hmm.
then there's a problem there.
Right. So cheating, you know, again, I totally agree with you because, you know, cheating on someone doesn't even have to be a liaison cheating in terms of sex or another romance or an affair or anything. You know, there are people that feel like they're being betrayed or being neglected when mm-hmm. it's another interest that takes them away from the relationship, whether it's work, whether it's sports, whether, you know, whatever. They, you know, it's a difficult thing to deal with, and people don't realize that a lack of connection and consciousness, a conscious connection to their partner, is very evident, and they don't see that.
And children particularly feel that.
Yeah.
You know, children really feel when you... You know, I was working again with a guy today who said to me that in his recovery, since he's not acting out online anymore, he's spending a lot more time in the evening with his kid, and he can think back now on the times when she didn't want to be put in front of the TV or in front of a video or sat down in her crib. She wanted to play with her dad.
Mm-hmm.
And her dad was too interested in getting online to really notice how needful she was.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of experience over and over again really does affect a parent-child relationship.
Right.
And, of course, it affects a primary relationship between two people who are lovers or partners.
Mm-hmm.
It's always interesting to me when someone, let's say a guy will say, boy, you know, if you were involved with the person that I'm involved with, you know, if you had my wife, you'd act out sexually too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's gained weight and she doesn't want to have sex with me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of have to say, well, why has she gained weight? And why doesn't she want to have sex with you anymore? You know, it's not that she's mean or angry or is, you know, dying to be in a size 12 dress. It may be because she's so frustrated and unhappy and feels so unheard in the relationship
mm-hmm.
that she turns to food for comfort.
Right.
And she's avoiding sex with you because she's angry at you because she doesn't feel like you care or pay attention.
Right. But to me, that's the cornerstone of most of the dynamics here is there's an emotion that... they don't know how to express, they don't have the tools to deal with, and they repress. And that's all very common, whether it's the addiction or the co-addict. So we're going to take another break here and come back with Rob Weiss and continue our discussion about cybersex addiction. So stay tuned.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Stuart Altschuler, a licensed practicing psychotherapist since 1974, wants to let you know about his website at www.tellthetruthfaster.com. You will find the resources you need in these areas: self-empowerment, positive thinking, attention deficit disorder, individual and group HIV/AIDS counseling, addictions and compulsive behavior, intimacy and relationships. Get the information you need on these topics and more. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com. There's even a place to email Stuart with your questions, comments, and requests for information regarding his work. At www.tellthetruthfaster.com, you can find additional links for groups, organizations, and websites dedicated to help you identify and heal the issues you are experiencing. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com today.
Enhance your sexual experience with Entice. Entice, Ultimate Orgasms, Endless Orgasm Accessibility. For various reasons, 46% of women do not achieve orgasm. The pleasurable effects of Entice helps you rekindle the desire while optimizing your sexual climax. Entice is a natural scientific formula specifically designed for men and women to boost sexual performance and is menthol-free. Thanks to a Nobel Prize-winning discovery, you can now achieve health, well-being, and satisfaction with a smile. Reclaim your intimacy by calling 877-798-1869. That's 877-798-1869. Or visit us on the web at www.entisse.tv.
What if all the therapies, yogas, spiritual disciplines, counseling, and religions are missing the one thing necessary for releasing us from our own blocks to mature and profound states of mind? The forces of ignorance are the causes of our failures and our sense of personal futility. Join Julie Grable and Pierre Grimes for The Light Show every Wednesday evening at 9 as they reveal the fundamentals of a philosophical method which can assist you to free yourself from the unrecognized patterns of thought and action that block you from realizing your spiritual destiny. The Light Show, Wednesday nights at 9, only on AM 1100. KFNX.
Hi, this is Paul Stanley.
Hi, this is Gene Simmons of Kiss for Rad.
Recording artists against drunk driving.
Getting drunk may be your business, but it's my business too, because when you get out on the road, my butt's in your hands. Get a designated driver. I don't want to die because you want to have fun. Remember,
don't drink and drive. I want you alive.
Public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
I want a pet iguana.
I want a pet iguana.
I like to grind handrails.
I like to grind handrails.
I think cartoons are for kids.
I think cartoons are for
kids. Talk to our expert hosts
in
the Phoenix area.
Did your little brother copies everything you do?
I've been lifting weights. Oh, yeah. I'm huge.
I've been lifting weights. I'm huge.
After all, you're his big brother, his role model, and he looks up to you.
I need to work on my crossover dribble.
I need to work on my crossover dribble.
I want to be an astrophysicist.
I want to be an astrophysicist.
I got a date tonight.
I got a date tonight.
So don't do anything you wouldn't want him doing. Got it?
Hey, look. I don't smoke weed, okay? It's not my thing.
I don't smoke weed. It's not my thing.
Call 1-888-412-8272 for more information. A message from the Partnership for a Drug-Free Arizona and America.
Talk to our expert hosts. In the Phoenix area, call 602-277-KFNX. Outside the Phoenix area, call toll-free 866-277-KFNX.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster, and tonight's topic is cybersex addiction, and my guest is Rob Weiss, a clinical social worker and author of Cybersex Exposed. Rob, we talked about a lot of what's going on with the computer and cybersex. Where do you see our society going with this computer and the internet and sex?
Well, I think we're going to be having virtual sex. I mean, I really think that we're very, you know, right around the corner from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I play some of these Sega games or PlayStation games and the character in front of me goes over a rough road and the little handset I have in my hands that I'm using to play the game starts vibrating, you know, I think to myself, oh, okay, so the image and the feeling, you know, that this is happening in my hands, why couldn't this be happening in my genitals, you know?
Wow.
So I don't think it's very, I think we're really close to having form-fitting cybersex experiences that are really like virtual sex. And then it'll be really hard to say, but I didn't really have sex with him or her.
Right. Okay. Interesting concept of our future. Obviously an interesting concept of people not needing to go to bars to find anybody and do all the other stuff when they can sit at home with
their Sega machine.
Yeah, and you can lie down with your sample bodysuit and plug in the character that you want, and you'll get that kind of experience. That's a little further away, but we'll live to see it, I hope.
Kind of scary.
Fun for some and scary for others.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not about things being bad or wrong. It's just about some people are going to abuse them.
Well, exactly. And speaking of where all this goes with some people, those people that are listening tonight and are being triggered because of self-identifying or seeing what we're talking about in someone that they know or love, what can people do? What is sobriety when you're talking about sex or even cyber sex, and how do you approach it? How does the Sexual Recovery Institute support people in this?
Well, I think, sir, again, in the intro you mentioned, you were talking about behavioral addictions and you mentioned food, and I think sex addiction or any kind of sexual addiction or behavioral addiction like sex addiction is really very much like a food disorder. You know, you don't want to live the rest of your life without eating. If you're a binge overeater, you've got to make some kind of plan for eating that's healthy for you. And I don't think, I certainly would advise anyone that go through the rest of their life without being sexual, but I think that someone who has a problem with excessive sexuality or sex addiction needs to define and devise some kind of plan for what is healthy for them and what isn't, so they can find something to stick to. And then they need some kind of supportive environment or support group that will help them be accountable and maintain that agreement that they've made.
And how does that work in terms of treatment?
Well, I often think of myself and the work that we do is really very much like being someone's sponsor in an AA program. You know, the kind of treatment we do is very directive. It's very here and now. It's not really, not that we're not interested or focused on people's histories or their trauma, but our primary concern is that they stop their acting out behaviors and that they build the support to continue to not engage in their acting out, their sexual acting out. So a lot of our work is about really helping people devise those plans and build social supportive relationships and be accountable and deal with all the fallout, the damage that their sexual behavior has caused to their relationships and their families and their work. And, of course, a lot of clients walk in with legal issues, and we have to help them deal with those as well.
Right. And something that I know we talked about during the break also, and I've said many times here, is one of the most difficult things most addicts, as well as a lot of human beings who aren't addicts, have to deal with is, what do I do with this well of emotions? What do I do with the anger? What do I do with the shame? What do I do with the guilt? What do I do with the fear of living, of being intimate, of being honest, of showing up in life? Because to me, a lot of times, even as children, we haven't been given these tools. We haven't been taught that it's okay to feel and it's okay to express one's feelings and that there are appropriate ways of doing it. To me, that's a big part of therapy in general, but particularly when you're dealing with an addict.
And I think it's not unusual at all following that for addicts to move from one addiction to another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not infrequent in my work to have someone really curtail or change their sexual behavior and then gain 30 pounds in 6 months,
mm-hmm.
you know, which doesn't mean they're going to continue gaining the weight, but it does tell me that they have transferred some of their anxiety and difficulty managing their feelings from their sexual behavior to eating.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is that some of the underlying ways of coping with their feelings has not been handled, and yeah, that is where therapy comes in.
Yeah. And so, again, a lot of times with recovery, combining therapy along with the 12-step programs is a real essential balance that
the best deal in town.
Yeah. And I know that's what the Sexual Recovery Institute really focuses on, is really supporting people in their 12-step work along with the couples counseling that you guys do and the individual counseling, the group support, all that stuff. And I really commend you for what you put together there.
Thank you, Stuart. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Thanks. And we'll be back after this last break for some closing thoughts. So stay tuned.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Stuart Altschuler, a licensed practicing psychotherapist since 1974, wants to let you know about his website at www.tellthetruthfaster.com. You will find the resources you need in these areas: self-empowerment, positive thinking,
attention deficit disorder, individual and group HIV/AIDS counseling, addictions and compulsive behavior, intimacy and relationships. Get the information you need on these topics and more. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com. There's even a place to email Stuart with your questions, comments, and requests for information regarding his work. At www.tellthetruthfaster.com, you can find additional links for groups, organizations, and websites dedicated to help you identify and heal the issues you are experiencing. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com today.
We love the music on Chandler Radio for Kids because they play...
Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play.
Z is for Cookie. That's good enough for me.
I'm Mark Shander. Don't miss Shander Radio for Kids Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. right here on Hot Talk 1100 KFNX.
www.shander.com.
You're listening to Hot Talk 1100 KFNX with Don Imus in the morning from 5 to 9 a.m. and the Tom Likas Show from 4 to 8 p.m.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome back to our closing segment of Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and we've been talking tonight with Rob Weiss, the founder and clinical director of the Sexual Recovery Institute in Los Angeles and the author of Cybersex Exposed, along with Jennifer Schneider, a doctor in Tucson. First, I want to thank you, Rob, for all your wisdom and for being part of the show tonight.
Pleasure.
And I want to let people know how they can reach you. And, of course, the primary way to reach any of my guests is through the website for the show, tellthetruthfaster.com. Rob's bio and a hyperlink to his center's website is right there. And you can email me on tellthetruthfaster.com if you've been too shy to call in tonight, but definitely have some questions or concerns, or it's the show has stimulated something for you in terms of emotional reaction, I would love to hear from you. So tellthetruthfaster.com, and you can get the hyperlink to sexualrecovery.com, which is the website for the Sexual Recovery Institute. Rob also told me that Patrick Carnes, who I mentioned earlier in the show, and Rob have actually established a new website dealing specifically with cyber sex addiction called cybersexualaddiction.com. So you can go directly to that if you'd like. So that's cybersexualaddiction.com. And I remind all of you that if you want to hear this show again or any of the previous 30-some-odd shows that I've done already, they're all in streaming audio on the website, tellthetruthfaster.com, so you can go back and re-listen or pick out a topic that you missed and see how the show went. So tonight we talked about one of many different types of addictions, and I actually want to close by reading a little bit more from Rob's book, Cybersex Exposed. And it's from the chapter entitled Cybersex Out of Control. The average person who begins viewing online pornography and engaging in sexually oriented internet activities often does so as recreation, taking it no further than occasional use and stopping when the activity appears to interfere or cause problems in life and in relationships. For some, however, activities become compulsive, and stopping becomes increasingly more difficult. This eventually creates serious consequences for the viewer. For the vulnerable man or woman, the intensity of the internet is comparable to that of crack cocaine for the budding drug addict. In both cases, the addiction progresses rapidly and so do the negative consequences. Using the voices of actual men and women who have been ensnared in the cybersex web, this particular chapter outlines some of these consequences, which can include emotional consequences, relationship, family, career, financial, and legal disasters. So far, our discussion has focused primarily on overtly sexual internet activities, such as viewing pornography and engaging in real-time online sex. Although both genders are involved in these activities, men more than women are aroused by visual images, as Rob said earlier. Typically, women pursue the lure of romance on the internet, not pornographic images. Romance on the internet can be highly addictive for some users, luring them into the unrealistic promise of an ideal relationship. People may fly halfway across the country to meet an online soulmate while breaking up long-term relationships. The phenomenon of cybersex romance is just as important to deal with as the sexual issues around cybersex addiction. So, again, as Rob had said earlier, the vast majority of the people seem to be getting hooked into this seem to be men. But I would probably venture a guess that there are plenty of women out there secretly in their rooms or while husbands are at work or whatever. It's important that you have the courage to come forward, men or women, and start dealing with the wreckage that this may be causing already, but certainly will, and you know in your gut that may be the truth. So thank you for tuning in, and be with us next week for Tell the Truth Faster. Good night.
Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, is broadcast live every week at the same time. Thank you for listening.